The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Patronum.
Expecto.
Lumos. Hello friends, welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host Ezra, aka Bill, also known as your friendly tech wizard, former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the Flannel Wizard, yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, aka Fleur.
Schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our tiny little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 43rd episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss Chapter 17 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the heir of Salazar Slytherin. Tonight, we have another guest host in the chamber. The chamber?
The cottage. Chamber?
The cottage.
We ain't got nobody in the chamber, let me tell you right now. Ain't nobody there.
She is a Swisher who loves talking about Harry Potter, obviously, but also Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Song of Ice and Fire, all of these amazing stories. Actually, she will just devour any good book you send her way. We're happy to have her here and give her a platform to share her shining personality with the world and her interesting take on Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Welcome to Shell Cottage, Harmony. So, Harmony, normally I let our guests introduce themselves a little bit, and we're going to have you tell us your story. But as I understand it, you came over from Swish and Flick. You are a Swisher. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is so awesome. I love it because we consider ourselves Swishers as well. So that's so cool.
That's how I know who Ezra is, because he was on Swish and Flick.
Oh, wow. Holy.
Whenever reading the third.
Oh, wow.
That's how we all know who Ezra is. I mean, to be
wild.
No, I love it. I love it. Harmony, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What are your callings or passions in life? And how did you get into Harry Potter?
Where do I start? Okay, I'll start with getting into Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So when I was four, I was born in 1994. So when the book first. When the book first came out, my mom's friend Lauren told my mom that she should read it with me. So it's kind of 4 years old, Harmony, read Harry Potter with me.
Aww. That is so cute.
Yeah.
And that's how you got into the books.
Yeah, that is how I got into the books. And I remember going to every midnight book release party from the fourth book on.
That is so awesome. I'm so jealous of that. Every time you guys tell me about this or someone from the UK tells me about this, I'm like, I missed all this stuff because, I don't know, we didn't really, either we didn't have it in Germany or I just didn't go.
Yeah.
But I guess my other passion, I love to read. I listen to Ezra's Bend the Knee.
Oh, really?
And is it Up Talking to Tolkien or is it an unexpected podcast?
We go by both. You go by, we, you know, whichever. Yeah, both.
The only one I don't listen to is Hyperspace Hangout, even though I do love Star Wars.
Wow.
My goodness, that's so cool. So you're into a lot of fandoms, fantasy books. That's like what you love to do.
Yeah. Ezra, you're probably going to kill me, but my favorite Star Wars movie is Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad. That's all right. Phantom Menace is good. You know, episode one, he's got Qui-Gon, so enjoyable. It's funny because mine's that's number one and mine's episode six, so.
Oh, I like six. Six is good.
See, there we can agree.
There you go. And I think Phantom Menace is pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's so awesome that you are interested in all those different fandoms. So you said you got exposed first time when you were like 4 years old. So that's basically your Potter story. What is your Hogwarts house? And do you think you have a second one? And if yes, which one is that?
So I'm a Gryffindor.
That's awesome. That is the perfect. I mean, a Gryffindor. We needed a Gryffindor for this chapter, by the way, just to throw that out there.
And then my second house is Slytherin.
Oh, let's go.
Whoa.
See, I always feel like Gryffindor and Slytherin are kind of, you know, close. And then their personalities are very different, but very similar.
Yeah.
And I feel the same about, like, it's very common to be a Hufflepuff and a Ravenclaw or the other way around. Like, you know, have more of those in you.
Right,
but
right.
I love all different combinations. So that's cool. So you're... That's the hardest one to combine, though. It's Griffin Rin. There you go.
Yeah, Griffin Rin. Yeah.
That's cool. So is that the first time we have a proud Gryffindor on the podcast?
I think so.
I think so too. Congratulations, Harmony.
Yeah. First Gryffindor.
That's so cool.
I think you asked what my favorite character was.
I was going to ask that. Yes. So. Tell us, who's your favorite?
This is going to be a hot take. Narcissa.
Whoa. I love that. Explain yourself.
I think she is a really good mom. She really cares about Draco. And I think, kind of like Lily, not exactly like her, but I think she would do anything for her kid, including die if she needed to. And I really love that in her.
Yeah. Yeah, I can agree. I really, like... In the last book, I loved what she did, and I could kind of, even though I don't personally have kids yet, but I can totally, like, I don't know, feel for her, feel connected to her and what she did for Harry and the whole world. And that was actually a huge act of bravery. But at the same time, as a Slytherin, protecting your super close ones and being very self-preserving in terms of her, you know, her son being like part of herself. And yeah, love it. That is so cool and unique. Do you have a favorite book or movie?
So my favorite book is, it's always a tie between Chamber and Half-Blood Prince.
That is so cool because right now we're reading Chamber, we're talking about Chamber, that's perfect. And then we always, whenever we feel like watching a movie on the side, we always put on Half-Blood Prince because that's like, yeah, definitely one of our favorites.
But my favorite movie is probably Goblet of Fire.
Let's go. Is it because of the hairstyle?
I like the music in it.
Oh, have you ever been to one of those concerts where you watch the movie and listen to them?
No.
Not yet. Okay. I've been to Prisoner of Azkaban live in concert. That was a really cool experience. But I gotta say, like, while the movie was playing, I somehow forgot that the orchestra was even there. And then the best part about it was at the end, once the movie was finished, they played the entire soundtrack again, just the orchestra. And I was like, this is so awesome. And I could really focus on the music. So that was great.
That's awesome.
So I really recommend, if you have the chance, that'd be really, really cool, a cool experience. And then my last question is always, do you have a character that you identify most with who can be, I mean, that could be your favorite character or, you know, someone else?
Probably, I would say I'd identify with Hermione the most because of her love of books.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's yep. She's a very relatable character. So many people loved her. When I grew up in school, we would always play Harry Potter during recess, and every girl wanted to be Hermione.
Yeah, I was always Hermione for Halloween.
For Halloween, you said?
Yeah, because I have big, bushy hair.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool. So we got to know you a little bit, and we know you're a Gryffindor. Gryffindor, do you feel brave enough to answer some of our trivia questions?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's awesome. So, this is actually, I didn't know that you're Gryffindor, so it's perfect that I asked that question. Okay, first question. Who of the following characters was not a Gryffindor? A. Remus Lupin. B. Professor McGonagall. C. Padma Patil. Or D. Angelina Johnson.
Padma Patil.
And that is correct. So we know you must have read the books and not just watched the movies, because movie watchers would not know that the twins are actually not in the same house. And Padma, like you said correctly, is not in Gryffindor, but in, do you remember which house she is in?
Ravenclaw.
Let's go. She's a fellow Ravenclaw.
Army knows. Actually. Army knows what's up.
Let's go. That means we're ready for the second question. And I don't even know if, I mean, you know, I'm air quote floorer, so I don't even know if I would have been able to answer this correctly. But what kind of dragon does Fleur have to steal the egg from in the first task of the Triwizard Tournament?
That's a tricky one.
It is.
Is that what it was? The Welsh
Green? Yeah, the Welsh Green.
So you said the Welsh Green?
Yeah.
Wow. That is awesome.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're fine. You're totally fine. That happens. We have storms all over Ohio right now, and probably Florida does too, so that happens. That's okay. Okay. Who all is... That's the last final question. Who all is with Harry and Dumbledore in the last chapter of this book, who hears Harry's story? Do you remember? Have you read the last chapter by any chance? Who all is in the room when they reveal Tom Riddle is Lord Voldemort?
So it's Ginny, Ron, Professor Lockhart, Mrs. Weasley.
Correct. And of course Dumbledore, we said that. And
I think that's it.
One more. Because they're actually not in Dumbledore's office, but they are in someone
Harry?
Else's.
I didn't say Harry, but Harry.
Right, Harry, yep.
McGonagall.
Yeah, there you go. Good job. Oh my goodness. I think, have you ever watched the Tournament of Houses? Like the show? It's like a trivia show.
Yep, I watched it.
Hufflepuff won.
Yeah, Hufflepuff won. I'm trying to get on it. You know, I'm going to see if they'll let me in there. I got to train up, though, Harmony. I got to get better at my trivia. I'm not as strong. I would not have gotten that dragon question. I was thinking, like, the fireball Chinese thing. That was Crumb. And then Norwegian Ridgeback is all. I couldn't even remember the other ones. So...
All right, Harmony, if you are ready, and I mean, you are ready, we know that now, we can dive right into the chapter. So normally we read the chapter. Okay.
Chapter 17, The Heir of Slytherin.
Harry enters the Chamber of Secrets and finds Ginny unconscious, laying at the feet of the stone statue of Salazar Slytherin. Desperately, Harry starts to look for any sign of life in Ginny and begs her to wake up. A sudden voice from behind him tells him that she won't wake. When Harry turns around, he recognizes young Tom Riddle, leaning against one of the chamber's pillars. He's a bit blurry around the edges, but not as transparent as a ghost. Tom explains that he's not a ghost, but a memory, preserved in a diary, and that he has finally come to life. At first, Harry tries to convince Memory Riddle that they need to get out of here. They need to help Ginny and escape the monster together. But when Tom Riddle refuses to help him and instead picks up Harry's wand, grinning ear to ear, it dawns on Harry that Tom's intentions may not be as noble as he thought. And then Tom tells him everything. How poor Ginny poured her heart out to him in the diary. How he fed on her deepest fears and darkest secrets. How he became stronger by the day and eventually was able to control her, make her do all of those horrible things at school, and have her set the basilisk on Muggleborns. He explains that Ginny didn't know what she was doing, that she got scared and disposed of the diary. Tom admits that he got very excited when Harry was the one to find the diary, and since then, he had a new goal. He wanted to meet Harry. Tom knew that he would get to him by attacking one of his best friends, Hermione. Harry doesn't understand. Why does Tom want to speak to him? Finally, Tom lets the snake out of the bag. He is the preserved memory of young Lord Voldemort, heir of Salazar Slytherin, and the greatest wizard of all time. To his surprise, Harry scoffs and tells him that he's wrong. Albus Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time. Once Harry has spoken these words, Fox the Phoenix appears in the chamber, holding the sorting hat in his talons. The bird drops the hat on the floor and gracefully lands on Harry's shoulder. Harry feels a wave of courage come over him, but Tom Riddle is not very impressed. He demands that Harry tell him how on earth he, a little baby, was able to defeat the mighty Lord Voldemort, his future self. Harry, strengthened by Fox's presence, tells Tom that his mother's love and sacrifice saved him, and that because of Lily, Tom's future self is actually a wreck, barely alive, ugly, and foul. This causes Tom to run out of patience, and he summons the King of Serpents from Salazar's statue. Harry knows he cannot look the beast in the eyes, so he shuts his eyes and takes off running. Blind and without a wand, he doesn't get very far, but Fox takes off and rips out the serpent's eyes. The giant snake thrashes its tail out of pain and sweeps the sorting hat right into Harry's hands. Once he slams it onto his head, he can feel something heavy appear on the inside of the hat, and Harry pulls out Godric Gryffindor's sword. The basilisk lunges at Harry again, but this time Harry doesn't dodge. He stabs the beast with the sword and drives it into the back of its mouth. Even though the snake is dead, Harry can feel its poisonous fangs stuck in his arm. The snake's venom is already spreading through his body. Tom Riddle is confident that it's over and delightfully watches Harry grow weaker every second. Riddle clearly underestimates Harry's allies. Fox rushes over and lays his head on Harry's wound, crying. The phoenix's tears show immediate healing powers and Harry's wound instantly disappears. By the time that Tom realizes what is happening, it's already too late. Harry quickly seizes the basilisk fang and plunges it into the diary. Memory Tom lets out a scream, flails, and then vanishes into thin air. Ginny regains consciousness, and she, Harry, and Fox hurry back to Lockhart and Ron. Fox easily carries all four of them up the pipe and back to Myrtle's bathroom. With his bright golden glow, the Phoenix leads the group out of the bathroom and right to Professor McGonagall's office.
Woo! That was a long one.
That was a long one.
That was a good one, though. Harmony, we would love to hear your thoughts first on this chapter. What do you think?
So my first thought is that it really starts to foreshadow the Ginny and Harry relationship that comes to form.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think it's wonderful looking back on those two. And Harry is actually so scared for Ginny. And we think, you know, it's just his friend's sister. Why is he so upset? But it drives him forward to go. He doesn't want to go in there. He's actually really, really anxious to go in there. But the thought of Ginny, maybe she's still alive, maybe I can save her, drives him forward. And that's super sweet.
And also, I think one of my favorite lines in the chapter is Harry telling Voldemort that he's ugly. I don't know why I love that line. I just think it's hilarious.
That is so brave and bold, and it shows Harry is a true Gryffindor.
Yeah, yeah. Calling him ugly, calling him foul. Yeah, that was pretty bold. Yeah, he was going after him with everything he had, which is fine, because he is a foul. I mean, he's, you know, look all the things. He's making Ginny do stuff. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, and that's his future wife.
Yeah.
So he's not putting up with that. I mean, he doesn't know that yet, but I mean, for us doing the reread, it's like, it's his girl, okay?
Yeah.
And I also think, sorry, Ezra, because I know you like him, I think Professor Lockhart's a jerk.
He
said some pretty bad things last chapter.
I had to apologize last chapter. I had to come out and say, like, this guy crosses a line. He's a character that when you first are reading him, all the way up, you're like, okay, is this guy just weird? Is he just, what's going on? Is he delusional? And then once you find out really what he did, you're like, wow, you are an absolute piece of work.
Yeah.
But, you know, he makes me laugh until we find that out. And then I have to do a full on sort of like, okay, it's a bad guy. But boys, hey, it's kind of like what Kingsley says about Dumbledore. What's he say? He says, you got to admit, Minister, he's got style. So, you know, Gilderoy's got the style. Yeah, but other than that, he's a jerk. I agree with Harmony. He's a jerk.
When they go up there, the first thing he does, and he's lost, mind you guys, he's lost his memory. He just fixes his hat. Like, he's still wearing some kind of hat that probably matches the rest of his outfit, and he has to, like, you know, put it back in place.
Right.
It's great.
So I've actually also been reading Half-Blood while reading this book because I think they're super similar. And this reread, I realized how similar Lockhart and Slughorn are.
Maybe that's why Ez likes both of them.
What are you trying to say? Wait, go on, Harmony. What are you trying to say about Slughorn?
I think Slughorn's fine, but I think Slughorn and Lockhart are both a little narcissist, and they try to profit, but they kind of profit off of other people's fame.
That's true, right? Because you got the shelf, he's collecting individuals, he's profiting off of them, and then Gilderoy definitely directly profited. Yeah.
Hang on a second, I'm trying to think when Gilderoy went to school. Was Slughorn still his teacher, and did he want to be in the Slug
Club? Did he learn this from, was he in the Slug? Hold on.
That would have been, if Slughorn was his teacher, that would have been probably his biggest dream. Like, be on like part of the Slug Club, part of that group of famous people. Did Slughorn ever reach out to him later? You know, if Slughorn's thought that Gilderoy did all this, and he's all that famous, maybe he reached out to him, and then the world found out he's actually fake. He just put the autograph somewhere so no one can see that he got his autograph. I think Ez is looking up
the
Slughorn and Lockhart connection.
It's not working. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah. We'll look it up. We'll look it up later.
Yeah, we will. We'll definitely come back to that. I mean, at the latest when we get to Half-Blood Prince. That's so cool, though. Yeah, that connection. What else do you got, Harmony, for this chapter?
We don't really see it, but now looking back, we know that the diary was a Horcrux, and just how important that diary becomes in both 6 and 7.
Yes. That's why we were so excited to read this book again, because it seems like this and book one were both like the books that really got us introduced to Hogwarts and the world of Harry Potter, and you kind of think of it as the kids' books of the whole series, right? But just looking back, how important Chamber is, and how we always come back to this, and how later on Ginny says, "Hey, I have had a." You know, I was possessed by Voldemort. She had some kind of, both of them, Harry and Ginny, had some kind of relationship with Voldemort, with Tom Riddle. And at some point, both of them called Tom Riddle something like a friend, which I think is very interesting.
Yeah,
that is interesting. That they both kind of considered the young Tom Riddle, the young, charming Tom Riddle friend. But once he got older, he is kind of ugly and foul.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ez had a theory. He shared that with me in the car earlier when we were listening to the audiobook. What was your theory about Tom's talent to charm people?
Well, yeah. I just thought multiple times they say that Tom Riddle could easily charm people, and he was so charming to different professors and people, other students. He got all these friends together. They they kept a secret for him and just all this different stuff. I mean, even charmed, you know, Professor Slughorn. And it's like, it's almost as if he had this enchanting sort of like hold over them that it's similar to the love potion that, I mean, that his mother used on his father that had this sort of hold on him. So it's just interesting that he has that sort of, they always say he's very charming and he's very much, he's able to, like, you know, kind of hold their attention or whatever, just get what he wants a little bit from them because of those, you know, just the way he's able to manipulate them like a love potion would. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy.
Right. And if you think about it, his dad was on a very high dose of love potion all the time.
Yeah. So high dose.
What do you think, Harmony?
No, I agree that it is kind of like a love potion. But it's interesting because he refers to his friends or his Death Eaters, even in this book. And it's interesting that that comes back in 4, and Harry didn't really, maybe he didn't remember that that's what he called the Death Eaters.
Mm.
Because 4, when they're at the World Cup, he doesn't know what Death Eaters are. Because the Dark Mark, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. I totally read that too in this chapter, and I thought that was so interesting. Just like you said, he says his most intimate friends at school already called him by his new name, Lord Voldemort, right? And I was like, who were Tom Riddle's? I tried to remember if it was mentioned, and I went on the wiki, and it says there is an entry that's called Tom Riddle's Gang. And I thought that was so funny that he had a gang. They were a group of fellow Slytherin students whom Tom Riddle had around him during his time at Hogwarts. And we learned that later in... which one is it? Oh, yeah. Tom Riddle merely smiled as the others laughed again. Harry noticed that he was by no means the eldest of the group of boys, but that they all seemed to look at him as their leader. And this was, I believe, a pensive memory. Oh, yeah. Okay. When they probably watched Slughorn, the Slug Club, and the Slughorn Memories. And the known members are listed here. They are Tom, the leader, Avery, Lestrange, which I believe must be Bellatrix's husband, which is crazy to think about because according to Cursed Child, that's who he has a child with, his wife, Rosier, possibly Rosier, possibly Mulsber, and possibly not sure. They just say possible, but definitely Avery and Lestrange are mentioned.
That's interesting. I didn't realize Lestrange was that much older than Bellatrix.
I'm trying to think. Yeah,
because
you're
right. Because I believe Bellatrix was...
It might not be family members. Bellatrix's possible daughter-in-law. So that is a different Lestrange. I apologize. You are completely right, Harmony. It is not Bellatrix's husband. It is, that means he is the father of the Lestrange she marries, right? Yeah. There we go. That makes more sense.
Yeah, because I think Bellatrix, I think she's around Lucius' age. And Lucius was in school when he was in his 5th year when Snape and the Marauders were just starting.
Yes. Yeah, so that was kind of the second wave who were kind of loyal to Voldemort back then, and the first Death Eaters, along with a couple of close friends he had at school. Yep, you're right.
What do you think about this chapter, Ezra?
Let me think here. You know, I love that, like, a few things that kind of stood out were the idea that it goes down slightly differently. You know, in the movie, they definitely play up a lot of the chasing of the basilisk.
Yeah, it's actually
King
very
of
quick.
Serpent. Yeah, it's very quick.
Hmm.
Yeah, very quick. One thing that I was thinking about, and I've been kind of typing and doing a little research over here and thinking through, is Harry is able to speak Parseltongue, And just a theory, I like to theorize and think about, you know, different things. I wonder if he would have been able to speak to the basilisk and tell it to stop. And I only say that because, and people would say, well, he's not the heir to Slytherin, but he is housing a portion of the soul inside of himself, which would make him the heir to Slytherin.
Whoa.
If you know what I'm saying. So would he be able to speak with part? Because actually it's that bit of soul that allows him to speak parcel tongue. Would he not be speaking parcel tongue to the basilisk and telling it, could he not have commanded it just the same way that Tom Riddle did? I think maybe he could have, but he never does. He never speaks to it.
Well, they play around with this in the movie. I think he tries to speak parcel tongue in the movie, not in the book, but and then Tom Riddle says, you can't, it only listens to me. But I...
Oh, well, really?
Yeah.
That's right, in the movie?
Right, Harmony? Am I right?
Right. In the movie, Tom Riddle says something like, it only listens, obviously, Harry.
Huh.
What?
Interesting.
But I also like your thought that, yes, we always have to keep in mind that there is a part of Voldemort in Harry.
Yeah, it latched onto him. Just trippy. But, you know, in general, though, it's spooky to be all the way down there and to think that this chamber existed and then that no one could find it. And I actually like the little nugget where Tom Riddle kind of goes back in time and talks about how, you know, Hagrid, I can't believe they even bought that. But, I mean, he's, again, this persuasive fella who tells him the story about Hagrid when it took him 5 years, I think he said. It took him 5 years to figure out how to find the chamber, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about that. And so he's done his research. He's very obsessed with this idea. So we get a really good insight as to who he is. He even draws a parallel between the similarities between himself, Tom Riddle, and Harry Potter, which I thought was pretty cool. He even goes all the way down to how they looked.
Yeah.
Right? Their physical appearances and things. So not that, you know, I don't know that I'd go that far, but I mean he did. Tom himself sort of said that. So yeah, that was our first clue that there is something else in Harry and there's other, you know, magical connections between the two of them.
And that is Harry's entire struggle later on in the series. Is he like Voldemort? Is he, you know, and the whole thing that we as readers learn, it's no. Dumbledore said in the first book, it's your choices, Harry. You guys might be not as different as you think, but at the same time, you make very different choices and that makes you different people. And I think that's very well shown even in this chapter. I love how Harry is so naive at the beginning when he first sees Tom. It takes him so long until he understands that Riddle is behind everything and he wants to believe in the good of people. I just think that's seriously just honorable. I know you might think, oh my gosh, Harry, like seriously, that Tom Riddle did it. Like, that's so obvious, but I think it's very honorable.
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's always trying to see the best in people. He's also young. He's naive a little bit. So this is a part of him growing up, too. It's that experience where he's like, oh, wow. You know, he's come across the Dark Lord twice now in a row. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy that he can draw upon that experience, too, and sort of reflect back and say, I have seen what you will become, which also gets into this time travel bit where it's sort of like we're going back in time to see Tom Riddle. He has seen future Tom, and then Tom himself references that, you know, Voldemort is his past, present, and future. And then the next book, we'll get into time turners, and we'll start, you know, jumping all through time. But, it is really, I don't know, for the first time to meet the Dark Lord in the first book the way we did, and then to come in this book and see that he's this charming, complete opposite, very charming, handsome, you know, magically talented individual that has respect from the staff, and you could tell that with Professor Dippet. It just feels like really weird, a good juxtaposition, you know what I mean, from book one to book two, and that's really what I think kicks it in. Sometimes having a good sequel and having a good finish here that's intriguing is what keeps people driving forward. You're like, okay, the first one was good, and so obviously you want to go into the second one. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the second one drops the ball, and I do not think at all that Chamber does. I think Chamber is one of the best books in the series, quite frankly, because from there she had to set up all of these different things that tie into the final book. That's what I think it makes it so, so good. She had to really think ahead on that. So
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know about, I want to ask you guys. So when I read this chapter, and it happened to me a lot in Chamber, because we are so, I don't know, we see the movie so often that we sometimes forget what really happened. And I tried to go back to this chapter and read it, and trying to really get away from my memory of how the chamber looks in the movie, and try to really read the description and, I don't know, build this new picture of the Chamber of Secrets in my head. And because it doesn't have any water in there, it's more like, to me, sounds more like you're going down to this, almost like, you know, a tomb somewhere in a pyramid kind of chamber. It's everything's dark. Harry doesn't even see Ginny until he reaches Salazar's statue. So it's so dark in there. And I don't know. I enjoy so much going back and reading the books again, really reading the descriptions again. What do you think? Is that something you do and try to, like, is that something you can do really easily to go between book and movies?
To go between book and movie? Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. Like, I sometimes, even when they're describing the chamber to me, I still in my mind now see it the way that we saw it in the film.
Yeah.
But when you really try and drop into word for word, what's it saying? What's it look like? Because if the first, we were listening on the way home, Harmony. We were like on the way home in the car, and they start describing the statue of Salazar Slytherin, and I'm like, who? What is this? I'm thinking a big snake. I don't know. Like, I was just seeing all the snakes going down through there, and I was like, what is this thing again? You know. And it's so it's described a little bit differently, but to me, it's so hard to get the because the movie does such a good job.
True.
I think of capturing it, like a lot of it. But it is nice to go back and find these little nuggets where there's differences, you know. So yeah, I don't know, Harmony. What do you think? Is it in your mind? You read the books. Do you read the books more than you maybe watch the movies, or kind of 50-50?
I definitely read the books more than I watch the movies. But I do also, I have the movie of the chamber like always at the center of my brain.
Yeah.
So I keep forgetting that it's way different in the book.
Yeah That's, I think, something we all kind of struggle with, but that's why, you know, it's good for people to get back. And we have a lot of people who listen, or who even like view some of our content, and they are only movie people, and we're always like, and I'm sure Harmony's like this as well, which is like, you guys have got to go check out these books, listen to the audiobooks if you have to, whatever it might be. But if you like the series, there's so many extra little nuggets and additional characters and just little things. I mean, it's got me running down, making, you know, crazy love potion Tom Riddle theories, and you know, can Harry speak Parseltongue to this bad boy? It's fun, and it's been a long time since I've gone through and done this, and I've been saying on the podcast for a while, I'm excited to get beyond this book, because I like Harmony, love this book as well, and I love Half-Blood Prince, so also one of my favorites. Those are like the two favorite like movies that we kind of, well, I think for a lot of you, it's Prisoner of Azkaban, and for a lot of folks it is. But I haven't read Prisoner of Azkaban in a long time. So like getting here to the end of this and seeing how exciting this is, the stuff with Jenny, the connections to Harry, you know, just all the setup for the rest of the series makes you excited to dive into the rest of it. And
yes.
Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. Actually, my sister does not like reading. Which is weird, because both my mom and I love to read. Anyway, I kept telling her, Lauren, you need to read the Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
And she finally gave in and said, fine, but I want you to read along with me.
Oh.
So we're almost done with book four.
Oh, nice. That is awesome.
That is so
good for you.
And I think you've heard that, you, Ezra, have heard that a couple of times, because you teach students who have reading difficulties,
and
sometimes just don't like to read, but finding a story that is really compelling, mm-hmm. that they really can get into,
and then having somebody to share it with, you know, like a sibling or friend or whoever, like to share and talk.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's why some people will tune into a podcast or whatever that might be, because they want to hear other people talk about it, engage with it a little bit. Yeah. It extends the experience and it helps you kind of, you know, internalize it a little bit more, which is great. So Harmony, good on you. That is fantastic. Like, anytime people are getting into Potter, I'm just super stoked, because it's such a, it's such good. It's magical is what we'll say. It's magical.
It is. So before we get, towards the end of this chapter, I definitely wanted to point out this part about Tom Riddle, where he kind of reveals that he is Lord Voldemort. First of all, I was wondering, because Tom Riddle is just a memory, could he use magic? Could he use the wand? Or did he use the basilisk because he was not really able to use magic? And I think the answer is really that he can... Here we see him move, you know, the wand and the letters of his arrangement, they change to I am Lord Voldemort. So he definitely can, he's able to use the wand. He's powerful enough to do that. But I think when it comes to more advanced things he would be able to do when he was alive, I think for that it's not enough. What do you guys think, real quick?
I agree with you. I think that, yeah, the switching of the letters isn't very advanced. And I think, like, if he wanted, let's say he wanted to transfigure Ginny into a teacup for some odd reason, I don't think he'd be able to do that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it might have worked if he had ended Ginny and gained more power from that. I think he needed to... Like, that's where he drained her, and that's where he got his energy from. But, yeah, so he definitely can use his wand to some extent, but I think he needed the basilisk, really, to attack Harry in a serious way. But what I actually wanted to point out is how he talks about his past and his parents. He talks about him changing his name, right? So he says, I keep the name of a foul common muggle who abandoned me even before I was born just because he found out his wife was a witch. No, Harry, I fashioned myself with a new name, a name I knew wizards everywhere would one day fear to speak when I had become the greatest sorcerer in the world. And I thought, this is a child speaking that is deeply heard. Like, he is so bitter.
He's abandoned.
About his father abandoning his mother. And, I mean, by no means you want to, you know, explain or defend his actions or anything. But he is an abandoned child. And he, because of his father, he had to grow up in that orphanage, which was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to kind of... There are... Anytime we make some sort of Voldemort video or anything online, people... And I don't know why, Harmony. I think it's because they're a little Slytherin. I don't know what it is. But some people are always, they're always wanting to ask the question, like, could he have been redeemed? Is it possible for Voldemort to, you know, was it like, they're really analyzing his character, I think, far more than maybe the author or anybody intended them to do. But, you know, sometimes a good villain, like we know with Anakin Skywalker, it's one of those things where you set up a really tragic kind of backstory, and then you're like, man, like, that is, it's just so sad. And then it turns into something so much worse, and the dark side and dark arts and whatnot. So, yeah, to me, that was hard to hear him say that, you know. But
I think that one of the things the author of this book does well is she does a good job of making you feel sympathy for characters that maybe you don't want to feel sympathy for. Voldemort is one. I think Snape, I love Snape, but I know there are a lot of people that don't like Snape.
Yeah.
But I think she does a good job of making people feel bad for him as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
She's a really good gray character.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because then it makes him, you know, real three-dimensional, or whatever, how many dimensions you want
to add. Seven-dimensional.
Very, real characters who are very, you know, diverse, and you know, villains you can kind of relate to, and
yeah,
they're not all just bad, and you know, yeah.
There's a depth. There's just a depth.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, to what they do, and the reasons, you know, we can explore like why they did that. We learn more about their motivations and stuff. Not that their choices are good, but it's like you kind of understand where it came from. So, and that makes it more interesting. It makes it more interesting read, and that's where people kind of gravitate towards different houses, different you know, because even little things, like we've been talking this whole book about the Hufflepuffs and their gossiping and all that kind of stuff, you're like, okay, and we get on them for a hot second, but we're also like, aren't Ron, Hermione, and Harry like constantly gossiping about everyone else in the school? And they are. But you know, we love, it's a different, you know, perspective and stuff. So it's just really cool to see the different groups and think, you know, which one do I gravitate towards, and which character is intriguing? What are they dealing with? And it's this exploration of our experience, really. Yeah. And it's set in a magical world. Well, it's our world, right? I mean, this is,
yes,
it's real. Okay. I don't want anybody thinking that I think Hogwarts isn't real, because
it is. Professor, is this real?
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, let's get some...
Yeah, if you don't mind, can I speak about Dashaun?
Yeah!
Dashaun, that is so sweet, that Fox sits down on Harry's shoulder, and, you know, Voldemort is kind of like, he sends you a bird and an old hat.
Right.
But Harry actually does feel so brave. And I think it's two things. We're going to talk about his song, the bird song, that makes him feel braver, but also the fact that he's not alone. And that's the most important thing, actually. I think a lot of us can kind of connect or relate to when we feel desperate or in danger. And the most powerful feeling is not to be alone, honestly. When I always kind of fear, you know, I don't know, like, driving sometimes can be scary, and sometimes I get the anxious moments where, oh gosh, what if something happens? Would I be able to, you know, save Ezra's life and call 911 and also secure the road? And same thing when something in the classroom, something happens and you want to make sure everyone is okay, but at the same time, call the office and, you know, like, the feeling of not being alone and someone is with you, I think that is the most important thing in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you're working as a team.
Yeah. 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 It's the idea. So what, yeah. Who's with you? I mean, cause Voldemort's like alone. Tom Riddle's like alone. Right. And he's just, and then, you know, Harry's ironically, I mean, Harry's got a little bit of Voldemort with him as well that attached to him. And you know, and I say that jokingly, but I've been reading more and more and more, and every time Dumbledore talks about that bit of soul, that they talk about the bit of soul that attached to Harry,
yeah,
it was the part Voldemort didn't want. It was the unwanted part of himself that seeks out belonging and seeks out a place with a pure soul and something that was whatever. But yeah, the whole point, and then Fox is there, and you've got the Sorting Hat, which is a personality in and of itself, showing up, and just some loyalty going on there, some you know, some friends, some, you know.
Yeah.
And that helps. It can help you through a lot.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking for why. Doesn't Harry say something like, Dumbledore will never be gone as long as there are people loyal to him?
Yes.
And I think that also shows his bravery. And also maybe Harry has some Hufflepuff in him.
Hey.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Don't we all to some degree? I mean, come on.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I think I have like 1% Hufflepuff.
It's all right. Hey, that 1% matters, okay?
Oh.
It's good.
Well, we all like to eat, right? So that makes us a little bit more Hufflepuff.
I'm getting hungry just sitting here. I'm just sitting there thinking like, my gosh, what can I get? I'm looking into the kitchen there, Harmony. I'm just thinking to myself, what do we got brewing over there on the stove? Crazy.
Ooh, yum. Food.
Yeah,
yes,
right?
There we go. That's where little Hufflepuffs in us come out. Yep. All right, so we were talking about Fox, and I researched the Phoenix song a little bit because I felt like I felt like I have read something about the Phoenix song, right? That it makes you braver. I don't know if it was directly mentioned when Dumbledore told Harry about all the different attributes that a Phoenix has, but I stumbled upon this on the HP Lexicon, where it says the song of the Phoenix gives strength and hope to those it sings for, increasing the courage of the pure of heart and striking fear into the hearts of the impure, according to Scamander, Fantastic Beasts. Mm. When wands sharing a phoenix feather, cores from the same bird are forced to do battle, the rare priori incantatum effect that results will be accompanied by the sound of phoenix song. And I totally forgot about this. This was part of Goblet of Fire, and they quote chapter 34 here. It was the sound of hope to Harry, the most beautiful and welcome thing he had ever heard in his life. He felt as though the song were inside him instead of just around him. It was a sound he connected with Dumbledore, and it was almost as though a friend were speaking in his ear. So that means the song of the Phoenix, Fox, was basically playing when Priori Incantatum happened, mm-hmm. because that's the two wands that Fox gave his Phoenix. Only two Phoenix feathers to those mm-hmm. two wands. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so that was that song could be heard during that time, is what Harry was saying, right? And that's what inspires him, but was it driving fear into the heart of Voldemort because he's
impure, yeah.
Dang. How did that wand even choose him then? Isn't that weird? Isn't that a little crazy?
Good question.
That his wand with the Phoenix feather chose him?
If the Phoenix feather wand chose Harry, because he does have some Voldemort in him. If he didn't, would Harry have a different wand?
Oh, that is a great theory that I think needs to be looked into. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, like, what? So the bit of Voldemort's soul that latches onto Harry, there is something there that was, again, like we talk about it being unwanted. There's a couple spots where Dumbledore says it or whatever, and it was just sort of like the only, yeah. So I don't know. I don't want to go super in depth. The whole idea is that there's some bit of him that felt comfortable to attach itself to an innocent soul, right? To a baby, to a child. And then that bit, whatever redeemable part of Voldemort was there, used to reside in him, and that might have been what the original wand chose and latched onto, that bit of Voldemort's soul, or Tom Riddle's soul, that was good and whole and could have been something completely different.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think.
I mean,
about.
The wands, it said the wands recognize each other too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I think there's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah, it's wild.
I like that theory.
Mm. Yeah.
Fox is so wonderful, and I think Fox is Dumbledore somehow. I mean, like, it is part of Dumbledore. They've been companions for so long that every time Dumbledore's not physically there, but he helps Harry through here in the Chamber of Secrets and then later on the graveyard in Goblet of Fire. That's his whole mission, right? He needs, I mean, later find out he needs Harry to go through all this kind of on his own, but through Fox, he aids him whenever Harry needs him.
Yeah.
So I think that's just really beautiful.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
What do you guys think happened to Fox after Dumbledore dies?
I feel like I looked that up at some point, and I think after funeral, I think after the funeral, didn't he just fly off?
Did he?
I think we don't really know what happened.
So we can just make up like our own theory, our head canon, where Fox went. Well, I wonder. Well, the problem is, I feel like there's something missing to really be able to tell, because we don't really know the end of Fantastic Beasts and how the Phoenixes connect to the Dumbledore family. And is there a Dumbledore heir, or like, you know, someone who carries on the name of Dumbledore or not? It looks like there is not going to be anyone, but we don't really know for sure yet. Because I would think at least that he would keep serving the Dumbledore family, but as of now we don't know if there is anyone. I feel like he's, you know, some part of me hopes that he lives on his own now, but he sometimes stops by at Ginny and Harry's house and visits Harry.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
What do you think?
That would be awesome if he just stopped by there just to check in. It's weird, like you said, when you go to the wiki and you look up just Phoenix in general, it says the Phoenix in this Harry, in, you know, Potterverse, is affiliated with the Dumbledore family. Affiliated, mm-hmm. What does that mean? It could be, I don't know. Like, I'm wondering. Yeah, it's got to find another worthy wizard or family,
mm-hmm.
Right? I feel like that's what. What do you think, Harmony? What, any ideas as to where? Yeah, what happens? Yeah,
maybe he just hangs out with Aberforth. We know that at least in the seventh book, that Aberforth's still alive. Harry doesn't see Fox, but Harry doesn't stay with Aberforth very long. I think it's maybe only a night, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting, though, to think, yeah. I mean, I totally, I mean, you're right. There is a survivor we don't know how old Aberforth is going to be and when he died. But that would be interesting, yeah, to think he would live or at least accompany Aberforth for a little bit. Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, there is so much that I would have loved to just learn in Fantastic Beasts about the story. Yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But good question. Just to come back one more time to the chapter, even though I love our discussion about Fox, the moment when Harry picks up the sorting hat and he puts it on, and again, movie people forget, he put on the hat and then he was wearing the hat and the sword appeared in the hat, and I was like, oh my goodness, what if the sword had appeared upside down? Like, what?
Whoa.
That is so wild to me that he had the hat on and all of a sudden something appeared on his hat.
Yeah, it just dropped in there.
Head.
Boink. Yeah. There you go.
So that was wild to me.
Yeah, that's kind of different, kind of weird.
But actually, how do you feel, Harmony, as a true Gryffindor? How do you think does it feel when you pull out the sword of Gryffindor? And
I would be thankful, but Harry didn't know that it was the sword of Gryffindor. He just thought it was some sword until the next chapter. But I would be happy to pull out the sword of Gryffindor.
Yeah, that would definitely make you feel braver. And even I, as a Ravenclaw, would feel strong and brave with the sword. But yeah, you're right. Harry didn't even realize it, that it appeared to him, that it was such an important item.
Yeah, it is cool that it appears here next to another Horcrux, because the idea was that he might have been trying to make a Horcrux out of different house artifacts or
founders or items. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes. He has the cup, right? He's got the diadem, and then he's got the locket, yeah. Right? And then
and he never got anything. From Gryffindor,
yeah. And that's the whole point. I mean, he's, you know, the Gryffindors rule the day. they're not taking anything from old Dark Lord himself.
So So I was going to say, it's interesting that he wanted to make the sword a Horcrux when the sword is what ends up destroying a lot of the Horcruxes. Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, a lot of people online were kind of debating, like, well, what would he really do that? I mean, how would he get it? Where would he go? All that kind of stuff, you know? So, and it's not that other Gryffindors other non-Gryffindors can't touch it. Like Bellatrix, for example, thinks she has it for a little bit. Snape is able to help get it to Harry and stuff like that, right? So, it can be acquired. Griphook's got it. I mean, at one point, you know, he's interested in it. The goblins and so forth. So it was possible. It's just like, yeah, everything goes wrong. It's like was he planning that to be his next Horcrux? Maybe. I don't know.
I like it because it makes sense. It was such a significant item and one of the only items we know were Gryffindors. So.
Yeah, it's like the final conquest, you know? It's sort of like this is the final thing. And almost to do it, he'd have to go through Dumbledore. It's like when he's ready to strike, he would...
Yeah.
If I feel like he felt like he was going to go beat Harry. Harry is, I mean, prophesied to be his equal, right? He's marked him as his equal. And Voldemort doesn't realize that he, by choosing Harry, is actually what marks him, right? And then, so once you beat... Once, if he were to beat the Potters, it's sort of like, well, I already beat them. Prophecy said that was the guy to beat, and already done it. So let's go take on Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Here's another, maybe a theory. I know Voldemort wanted something of each, like each founder. What if he tried to make the hat a Horcrux? Because the hat was Gryffindor's also.
Yeah, that would have been possible.
I think that would have been an incredibly powerful Horcrux. Thinking that what the locket can do to us if you wear it, I think if you would put on the hat, which has the ability to speak, I think that would be a very powerful Horcrux. That's interesting. And also it combines all the houses, right? All of them. And since Tom Riddle or Voldemort has this deep connection to Hogwarts, which was his home, that's why he chose all the founder's items. The hat would have been a perfect combination of them all. That's a good thought. And the hat, I mean, who would have known that he was going to be that important? But in the end, it is, again, Fox who gives the final clue. Is it him? Yeah, I think he's the one who drops the fang into Harry's lap. And then that's when Harry realizes. He doesn't even realize. He just does it. It's almost like an instinct. He grabs the basilisk's fang and drives it into the book, the diary. Yeah, and then, I mean, then it's pretty quick. Like, once the diary is destroyed, Tom's memory's gone. Ginny wakes up right away.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their way out of there. And poor, I mean, Ginny, it just melts my heart how she feels in that moment.
She tried to tell him. She was going to warn him and tell him, but just, you know, poor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Percy. Yeah.
Percy interrupts it.
Yeah. Gosh.
Oh, Percy, he has his own stuff going on, okay? So this year was tough for him, too, but also a good year, I think.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
He's got a girlfriend, so.
Yeah, but she also gets petrified, so that's a lot.
That's true. Yeah, and then we end on a kind of like a funny note with Myrtle just being a little disappointed that Harry's still alive.
Oh, she wanted she wanted him to join her in death. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's ridiculous.
He wanted to take her toilet with him.
I know.
Yeah.
romantic. I mean, poor girl. I mean, Myrtle is stuck forever in her teens, so.
Yeah. Why doesn't she move on? Why is she?
Yeah, doesn't she? Didn't she fulfill her purpose?
Yeah, she's fulfilled her haunting. I don't know.
Yeah, no, she still needs.
Maybe there's.
I mean, she's still
greater purpose. Yeah.
Harmony.
I was just gonna say, I think there are just some ghosts that they just don't move on. Look at Nearly Headless Nick. Look at Professor Dippet. Look at the Bloody Bear.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, their purpose is to be a ghost, you know, to haunt you know, just to be part of the.
I mean, they're they help out. In the end, they're very important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder. Yeah, that's another thing for another episode where we discuss like ghosts and can you help them somehow move on? Can they? Do they have any chance of going on to the next whatever comes after that? You know.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, anything we forgot to mention, Harmony, anything you want to add to this discussion?
Not really. I think this was just a really good chapter that really showcased Harry's bravery.
Yes, it is such a good Gryffindor. As a kid, I loved it. I loved how brave Harry was. And I really always wanted to be that brave. But I kind of knew I was probably not a Gryffindor, but still admired, definitely, Harry's bravery. Anything to add, sweetie?
Other than it's an epic. I mean, you know, he's fighting a monster at the end, down in a scary chamber that nobody can find.
Yeah.
You know, lots of mystical stuff. That's the other thing, too. There's, like, high magical stuff going on.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, like really mysterious things. So you set up a magical world that's already intriguing and very interesting, and then you just you keep taking us deeper into what can you do with magic here? What are all the things that you can kind of do? This guy is trying to become immortal. This is the person who killed his parents. So it's just high intrigue, and then from there, she just continues to grow it, continues to expand it. And I think when I think about Star Wars, a lot of times it's like the more they reveal about the nature and the mystery of the Force, you're like,
the best.
Tell me more. So like every time you get to this point, I mean, actually every book, even the little stuff, right, where Hermione does a new spell and we're like, you can do that? What? Like that is so cool. Yeah. And then they just keep going. And then the adult wizards are like also battling it out here on big, you know, bigger stage. So yeah, no, to me it's wonderful. It's epic. And I've enjoyed hearing both your guys' thoughts. Like, this has been good, really good. Harmony's had some great questions and great thoughts. So
this is cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is so fun, and we're always debating like how we're gonna make this work in the future. Like, we would love to have like little, almost like a get together with some of our Patreons and just have a good old Potter discussion, because that's what we love to do. We love talking about the series. We love hearing new thoughts from different people, new perspectives, and it's just so enriching. Is that a right word? I'm sometimes like double checking, am I saying the right word here?
It's an enriching experience.
No, yeah, we love it, and we loved having you on, Harmony. That was such a cool experience. So tell us real quick after this, so you kind of just read Chamber of Secrets, is that your normal, are you going to go through with the next book now, or do you have, some people read all the books during Christmas, or they have like kind of like a cycle they go through every year?
Well, she's on a reread.
Oh, they
with
oh
her,
you
with
said
her sister,
you said you are, right? Oh, I'm sorry, yes, so you are in Goblet of Fire. Yeah. Actually,
so we're in the very last chapter of Goblet of Fire, Parting of the Ways.
Wow.
So we're getting ready for Order of the Phoenix, which is probably my least favorite book of the series.
Yeah, it gets crazy in order. But yeah, what does
any? Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna ask, what does your sister think so far?
She really likes them. She keeps telling me that they're just so different from the movies. I'm like,
yes,
yeah, I know. There's so much more.
Yes,
and then like you forget, like I totally forgot about Winky.
Right.
Yes.
Me too.
The house elves are not very well represented sometimes in the movies, as they should have. In the, you know, according to the books, should have been more.
Yeah, it's crazy because, especially like Winky is really important in 4, and then Dobby and Creature later become very important in the last 2 books, especially.
I know, right? Yeah, it always. Actually, I gotta admit, when I listened, I remember listening to Swish and Flick talk about Creature in like an earlier episode, and I was sitting there and I haven't read the last couple of books in a while, and I was like, they keep talking about this Creature is so important, I can't remember, why was he so important again? Because of the movies again, we're so, you know, in the forefront of my mind that I went back and I read up on all, you know, his stuff again and why he was first very important for the dark side and then very important for Harry's side. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so super cool. And just this morning. Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, what I was just going to say is, yeah, Creature really starts becoming important. He's still a little jerk, but he starts becoming important at 6 after right. After Harry inherits him.
Yeah, and I love that Hermione, who tells them, always told them, we need to be kind to the house elves. That makes all the difference for Creature and for the series in the end. So that is really, really wonderful. I just met this morning one of my students, and she, on her own, put on a Harry Potter ambience video, and she put on the Ravenclaw common room. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is so awesome. And she was like, yeah, you know, today is, I love Harry Potter, and today is Ravenclaw Pride Day. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's so cool that you know that. And I kind of asked her, what's your house? And she said, Hufflepuff. She was a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
And I told her, she was like, oh, what are you? I said, a Ravenclaw. And she's like, oh, you're so smart. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I would always sit outside of my common room and never get in because I couldn't solve the riddles. And she was like, oh, I didn't know that you had to solve a riddle. And she told me how she loved Harry Potter for 5 years now, but she's only seen the movies. And I told her, I love that, and that's totally fine, but I think you would love the books. And if you ever have the chance, go read them. Or she said she doesn't really like reading either. And I was like, go listen to them. They're on Audible while you're doing something else. And she's like, oh, I think I'm going to do that. That is actually, yeah, I should do that. And yeah, I just think that's so cool that it's a journey to go from the movies to the books and then all of a sudden see all this stuff that have never made it into the movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish they had like 12 hours for each movie. I think Potter fans would watch that.
Absolutely, we would.
I know. That's what I was like when we watched The Hobbit, and so many fans complained, this is so long. And I was like, this is exactly, isn't that what every fan wants? That you basically shoot every single minute of how it happened in the book, but then I learned it is not actually all how it happened in the book. So there you go. But yeah, I would totally watch that. I would watch anything that, you know, new that comes out in the wizarding world and that covers more about different things. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just so excited. But it's also okay. Right now, we as fans can fill in the gaps and expand the fandom together. And yeah, that's a lot of fun too.
I was just gonna say, I have a hot take on The Hobbit. I think the cartoon is better than the live action movies.
Yeah, you like the animated? The animated is wild. It is, I haven't seen it in a long time. I think I ordered it when I was out in Germany. And I mean, I've seen it back when I was a kid, and I ordered it out in Germany and played it one time. I need to put it on here again. Just in the background.
I think we like watched like 20 minutes of it.
It's crazy.
For you know, like sometimes you put something on for dinner, and I think I can't remember. And also, I think we stopped watching it after dinner.
Yeah.
So
that's cool though.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good hot take, Harmony. I like it.
I have a lot of hot takes. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
Yeah, it's good.
No, it's great. I love hearing like your perspectives and new thoughts. It's so cool, and especially on Harry Potter. And yeah, that was. Thanks for being on here, and thanks for being so patient with us today. I know.
Thanks, Harmony.
It was a little difficult with the delay and everything, but you did so well.
Yeah, sorry about my mic. But thanks for having me on. I really had fun.
Yeah, cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Is there anything, you know, you want to plug? Any Instagram or websites or YouTubes? Anything you would like to, you know, we would like people to, I don't know, come message you or follow you or whatever you'd like.
You can request, I'm on private on Instagram, but you can request Harmony Davis 29.
Okay, there you go. So if you would like to continue the discussion with Harmony.
You want some more of those hot takes.
You can reach out to her on Instagram. That's awesome. Cool. That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Harmony.
Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun. Now I'm going to go eat.
Hawaiian. Oh, let's go. What's for dinner tonight?
Pasta, broccoli, pasta with broccoli and chicken.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds so yummy.
Yeah, I'm jelly.
That sounds awesome. Well,
what about you guys?
We kind of already ate because we come home from school and we're so hungry. So we often just eat after school. We had some baked veggies, some salmon. I just put veggies and salmon together and then make like a kind of dressing, and that was so good.
But there's leftover veggies. So that's, you know, I'm thinking
we might have to
throw them in
more.
A soup or something, you know.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow us over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to the moon and back. Also, don't forget, we are still doing our giveaway. If you want to enter, go ahead to Apple and leave us a review. You will enter automatically. We are going to draw 5 different prizes out of the first 50 reviews. And we just acquired the Funko Pop that we're going to send out.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the prizes is going to be a Funko Pop. And the biggest prize is going to be, which one is it, sweetie?
It is the
Order
of the Phoenix.
Yeah, the Order.
Were you quizzing me or did you not know?
No, I was quizzing you.
I didn't know.
We're going to send you the entire Order of the Phoenix.
Yes.
The illustrated version.
Yeah.
The illustrated version.
What in the...
Okay. Next time.
Wow.
Next time, we will cover the final chapter of Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets, chapter 18, Dobby's Reward. And let me tell you, it's a great chapter. Haven't read it in ages, and it's so different from the movie. So make sure to tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Again, thanks for joining us in our shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Chapter 17, The Heir of Slytherin. Harry enters the chamber and finds Jenny unconscious. Laying at the feet of the stone statue of Salazar Slytherin.
Crazy. Whoever did this is absolutely nuts.
That is absolutely nuts. I agree.
Like, it just drops to... Bum bum, bum bum, bum bum, ba-dum bum, bum bum, bum bum, bum bum, bum bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum bum, ba-dum.
Oh, man. Holy Moses.
Knox.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.